The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 5th through Sunday, December 11th, 2022. The commentary for December was written by Sally Sisler. Born and raised in West Virginia, after a long career in marketing and communications, she answered the call to ordained ministry and serves at a rural Episcopal church in southern Ohio. She and her husband, a retired judge and deacon, have two sons and four grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, December 5th, begins as follows. And this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 27 and 28. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The commentary is, stand up straight, my mother said, raise your chin and look a person in the eye. I wonder if Jesus is sharing his mother's advice with the disciples in today's text. When things get hard, that's the very time to look fear squarely in the eye. Earlier in this chapter of Luke, Jesus warns his disciples that following him won't be easy. In fact, it will be a wretched existence at times, and near the end, they can expect earthquakes and famines and plagues. But just when things seem unbearable, God's grace and mercy will be revealed in the coming of the Son of Man in a cloud. Anytime we sense the nearness of God's care, no matter the time of trouble, Jesus suggests we square our shoulders, stand up straight, raise our heads, and say, "Thank you for the time of our redemption." Even during the worst of times, we are surrounded by God's love for us and all creation. Our work is to stand up straight and pay attention, because surely it is God who saves us. And now I'll read the full passage today. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 20 to 28. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those inside the city must leave it, and those out in the country must not enter it. For these are days of vengeance, as a fulfillment of all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days! For there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be taken away as captives among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And the Forward Day by Day question for this Monday is, how do you look fear-filled times in the eye? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, December 6th. This is from Luke 21, verses 29 to 33. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. As we near the bleak Midwestern winter, I remember the daffodils that pop up near our driveway, just as that tiny promise of spring keeps me pushing on to shovel a bit more snow. In this passage, Jesus finds the perfect metaphor to get his disciples excited about the coming kingdom. When we're paying attention, even little things like a fig tree sprouting leaves can speak truth about the days to come. We have the potential with our smallest actions to give others a sign of God's immeasurable love and goodness. Today I will call a friend, buy a card, and make my husband's favorite meal. None of these are big actions, but rather tiny glimpses of a kingdom that has no end, where we keep the good news going by showing unselfish love. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, how can you show others the love and goodness of God? Now let's listen to the commentary for Wednesday, December 7th, beginning with the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." I'm a volunteer chaplain in the county court system. I hear gruesome details of drug-fueled crimes, and then I get up and walk out to the lobby to talk and pray with the accused. It's difficult not to judge, especially after a prosecutor has revealed specific details. In the lobby, my work is to companion the accused toward recovery, health, and wholeness. I'm not to add additional judgment. On any given day, I come face to face with people who need to repent and sin no more. Because, as Jesus says, if they do, they will regain their dignity and set their feet on a new path. And now I'm going to read the entire passage here. It begins with John chapter 7, verses 53, and goes through John 8, verse 11. Then each of them went home, while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. In the early morning he came down to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and making her stand before all of them. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how can you keep from judging your neighbor? consider adding a daily prayer for strength and understanding. And now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, December 8th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 3 through 6. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray Jesus to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Some readers may remember the 1970s comic Flip Wilson. In his skits, he would admit to questionable activities, but then protest and say, "The devil made me do it." Most thought the comedic routine was hilarious and laughed heartily, having had their own devil-inspired moments. In today's reading, the devil makes Judas renounce his love and commitment to Jesus' ministry and mission and betray their relationship for money. I've never felt devil-possessed, but fear, anger, and resentment have led me to regrettable decisions. Perhaps Judas was disappointed in Jesus' leadership style. He wanted a warrior king, not a kingdom changer. Disappointed, Judas let the devil set the course for his friend's death. But no one is laughing. In fact, tears are coming. And now I'll read from the entire passage here from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. The moving forward question for this day is, when have you given into feelings of greed, anger, and jealousy? And what spiritual practices can strengthen you from those temptations? Now let's listen to the commentary for Friday, December 9th, beginning with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. "But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Every week, clergy and congregations gather around the communion table to follow Jesus' instructions for a simple meal of bread and wine, one that connects us through time and space with his first disciples. Jesus reminds us that he is the host at this supper, He is the one who week after week serves us this precious meal, and we leave the table nourished so that we can serve others. Jesus' hospitality shows us how to be hospitable to others, to feed and serve them with pleasure and joy. My favorite dismissal at the end of Holy Eucharist is, "Our worship has ended, our service begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." In return, all the people say, "Amen." And now the full passage from this Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through 30. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took up a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the moving forward question for this day is, how do you follow Jesus' example to serve others as a gracious host? Now the commentary for Saturday, December 10th. It begins with a passage from Luke 22, verse 34. Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me." The disciples are gathered for their last supper together, and Jesus makes this horrible prediction. Simon Peter, one of Jesus' first disciples, will betray him. I can only imagine the murmurs of disbelief around the table. But it happens. We all betray the people we love, not because we're bad people, but because we are human beings, fallible and imperfect. During the confession each Sunday in worship, we recall our failures by what we have done and by what we have left undone. I remember times I've disappointed my family and friends, betrayed a confidence, or ignored an opportunity to serve. When I fail to respond to the opportunity to serve, I understand how Simon Peter could abandon someone he loved deeply. The daily examine and Ignatian spiritual practice is a technique of reviewing our day to discern God's presence and direction in our lives. One aspect of the daily examine calls us to consider how we may have been insensitive or damaging to others. As we review our betrayals, we can be thankful to God that God is in the forgiveness business. And now I'll read from the full passage of Luke 21, verses 31 through 38. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And he said to them, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. He said to them, When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, No, not a thing. He said to them, But now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed was it written about me is being fulfilled. They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied, It is enough. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is to practice the daily examine in the coming week. And now we'll conclude this week's program with the commentary for Sunday, December 11th, which is the third Sunday in Advent. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? The Roman ruler Herod Antipas imprisoned John the Baptist because he publicly challenged Herod's divorce and remarriage. As John languishes in prison, his faith in the powerful predictions he has made about the one who is to come may be wavering. So John sends messengers to ask Jesus if he is the one. Jesus says, Yes, John was right. The blind now see, the lame walk, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. These are all signs of how God's kingdom would come into the world. But John was expecting a bigger splash. He assumed the Messiah would seize power and trounce the enemies of God. Blinded by his own expectations, he almost missed the significance of Jesus' ministry. I wonder when my expectations are viewed through the lens of my own desires. When might I have missed the point? And now I'll read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. But then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And the moving forward passage for this Sunday is, how can you manage your own expectations? And we have just a little bit of time left on today's program, so I'd like to read from the appointed psalm for Sunday, December 11th, Psalm 146, verses 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflection Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.